the town where the jazz is swinging high. It's the New Orleans Outsider with Chris Goffmeyer. Oh my, we may be outsiders, but our love for New Orleans is true. So come along as I share it all with you. Sights and sounds, food and drinks, we're here to take a ride with New Orleans Outsider as our guide.
And here are your hosts, Chris Goff, Peter Newkirch, and Justin Appleberry.
Well, we've talked about Fritzl's, we've talked about Muriel's, we've talked about a lot of great places that we like going all the time in New Orleans, but we have not talked about, I don't know, guys, it could be my runner-up to Fritzl's in terms of the people I know there, and if anything happened to Fritzl's and the people in it, I might have to make Molly's at the Market my new Fritzl's. It might happen. Welcome to NOLA Outsider. I'm Chris, along with Justin and Peter. And I don't know. Do you guys feel that way? How do you guys feel about Molly's at the Market? Is that, how does it, I know it's not like a staple every time, but it's up there for me now. It is.
That's a bold statement, replacing Fritzl's.
I know it is. It's different. You know, it's not a live music venue. So it's, of course it's different, but I don't know. I love the vibe. I love the, they decorate that bar like I decorate my basement or my man cave or my, starting to sort of make my winery that way too. Just eclectic stuff on the walls. It's just stuff about it I really like. Yeah.
I don't see any reason to argue with that. I mean, it would be a strong second runner up.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get into it, but I mean, there's reasons why I say that, because there's, I personally have history with it now for many years. Peter does as well. And it's, you know, I've gotten to know the family that owns it, you know, the lineage there. There's a sister, or sorry, a daughter of the founder that lives in Kansas City that comes by my establishment that I've become friends with, and I enjoy talking to her about everything there. So there's just I just have a you know, a kindred spirit thing with them, and I really enjoy it. But if you guys have not been to Molly's at the Market, it is 50 years old as of 2024. It started in 1974. It's located at 1107 Decatur Street, really close to the French Market, and it's a, I don't know. How would you describe it? Is it? It's sort of a dive bar, I guess. Dive bar? Is that? Would it fall under that?
I think it was always meant to be a neighborhood bar. I mean, the way that Jim Moynihan intended it, including calling it his flagship bar. Eclectic, definitely. It appeared that's very much what he wanted.
Yeah,
that's a good fit. I think it's a neighborhood bar. It's a New Orleans bar. I think, you know, it has interesting stuff to see. It's got its own kind of flavor to it too.
So you got to understand the history of Molly's at the Market, you have to go back to, like I said, 1974. It was founded that year by Jim Moynihan Sr., who I never got to meet him. He passed away in 2001, but man, he seemed like a dude I would have liked to have hung out with, or at least been around, because he seems like everyone in New Orleans knows of the legend of Jim Moynihan Sr. Now, I say senior because his son, Jim Moynihan Jr., or the second, or I don't know, I just know him as Jim, he now runs it technically. And his son, Trey, is sort of like waiting in the wings. I think him and his dad sort of obviously sort of co-run it right now. But, you know, the Moynihan family is a well-known name in the French Quarter in New Orleans. And, to see, you know, what he did. I sent you guys some of the history of this place, which I found to be interesting, because, you know, it sort of explains some of the stuff that he has on his walls, including his own urn with his ashes on the bar, which is always like a centerpiece every time I go in there.
That's my favorite.
That's something I would totally want to do myself. I
mean, he wants to be in the middle of the mix.
Yeah.
I mean, where's a better place? Over your mantle or in the middle of a crowded neighborhood New Orleans bar? I mean, it's a perfect.
Yeah, you got to go where the action is. You got to go where the action is.
Great.
You know, he ran for office in New Orleans. I get, you know, if you read about him and you read all these articles about him, you hear and you read all the, you learn all the stuff about him, about how he was very outspoken. I guess he had a lot of problems throughout the years with city officials and things that were happening in the city, because he loved the city. You know, he owned or operated 30 plus bars in New Orleans, which is amazing. Now, I don't know what, you know, Justin, you're in the bar business, as am I. I can't imagine having two, let alone 30, you know.
I could handle one. That's about it. Barely.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and imagine it in the French Quarter. I mean, to just take the problems of infrastructure and just anything else that might come along with a huge, like, old town like that. Good God. Oh. I mean, but, you know, you look around and he's got, you know, of course, there's pictures of events that they've had. There's street signs. There's, you know, there's a – I love the chalk drawing of William Yeats. You know, like, he's – like, there's just – there's things that, you know, just spot the place that, like I said, it's cool. It's like, Peter, like, this is a normal thing down there. The police patches. I mean, that was at Fritzl's, yeah. But also Molly's. That's a big deal. I mean, has that always been a big deal, Pete? Because, like, I swear, like, I want to start doing that, too.
I don't know if that started with Molly's, but I've noticed it all over New Orleans that they got, and there's lots of other bars that do it also. It kind of, I guess, become a thing.
Do you carry a bunch of patches with you, Peter, just in case people ask?
I do not. I have to remember to do that at all.
You can do challenge coins, Goff.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Yeah.
Challenge coins.
Yeah. Well, you know, Monahan, native New Orleanian, you know, over 30 bars. Some of the bars that he owned, here's some of these. So Molly's at the Market is the only one that the family still owns on Decatur Street. But he also used to own Aaron Rose, which is another big bar that everyone knows in the French Quarter. That's on Conti. I guess it was originally known as Monahan's, but it was later renamed Aaron Rose. And like I said, it's got they got the frozen Irish coffee there. It's a little different. It's a little different over there than the old school Molly's at the Market. He also owned Bonaparte's Retreat, Macho Mike's, Easy Eddie's, Katie's Underground, Burgundy Street Outback, and, you know, like 25 more. I don't know. Did you guys see that since the mid 80s, he has regularly had on Thursday nights a media night, which I was amazing for me. Yeah.
I would like to go down there. It's been a long time since I've been there on a Thursday night, but I would totally go in there for that.
Well, I mean, we usually go down there for, you know, extended stuffs in like November, and we'll go down on a Thursday, you know? So I'm like, man, I wish it was coming up on this one, Peter, but like Thursday would be cool to, it would be cool to go down there on a Thursday to see, I guess it's still happening. I mean, you have local and national journalists meet in here and city council members, like it says some of them were guest bartenders during these events. And I guess he really cared about, you know, this, the New Orleans landscape and just what was happening. And just, he had a love for literature and poetry and city politics. And I don't know, he was all over the board, man. His diverse, like, things that he loved is obviously shown on the walls inside Molly's to this day.
Very interesting guy. Sounds like a character I'd love to have met.
Yeah, reading up on him a little bit, he seemed to have a very specific idea of how things should be done in the city, which I can only imagine was an immense challenge, because that seems what most people down there have, their own version of how everything should be done down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of got the impression, I don't know, this might be something to explore later. It seemed like he was running, you know, he had 30 bars, but he wasn't expecting to own 30 bars at one time. He was, he'd kind of run a concept.
Yeah, I could see that. Sure. I mean, he... You know, you can see the footprints of the places that I mentioned before that are still around. You know, they're pretty, like, Aaron Rose is, you know, Molly's is a typical, like, bar size, I guess, there. It's, I would say it's typical of Fritzl's. You know, it's about the same, roughly the same shape. It's got the courtyard in the back. It's got the open air sort of bench in front that Fritzl's doesn't necessarily have. They got the window at Fritzl's, and they got sort of seating there at the window street side there at Molly's. But it's right on the corner. It's right in the middle of the action up there off Decatur, which is a huge, like, touristy area by the French Market and stuff, more so than other parts of the French Quarter. And, you know, it's a very comfortable bar to walk into. You can walk in there and look like anything. You could be a sweaty mess. You could be dressed nice. I mean, they have all these events we'll get to, but, you know, I think when I think of Molly's, you know, I think of, and, you know, of course there's a lot of bars that fall into this category in the French Quarter, but it's just sort of like very like, you know, like an old nice pair of shoes, right? Like it's just like you walk in and it's nice.
It's comfortable. Very comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable.
I think a couple of things I wanted to talk about is, first of all, the drink that I've copied up here, but is the one of the, you know, we have Hurricanes, we have Pimm's Cups, we have Grasshoppers. We have a lot of different drinks that New Orleans is known for. Purple drink, you know, whatever. Sazerac, you know, absinthe. But the one, the biggest frozen drink down there has to be the frozen Irish coffee at Molly's. I mean, this was something that Jim Monahan came up with a long time ago. And like I said, Aaron Rose, who what she once owned, has their own version of it. It's a little bit more liquidy than what I consider to have at Molly's. But I remember taking you in there, Justin, and having that. And anyone that I take in to have a frozen Irish coffee always, I mean, you know, depending on the temperature and depending on where you are in the day of where you're drinking, everyone pretty much really loves it.
Yeah, there were, I'm not much of a frozen drink type of guy, but man, that hits the spot. And the aspect of it I like a lot too is you can add different shots of whiskey or other liqueurs. The list that you can add is pretty extensive. I think there's like probably 20, 30 options.
Yeah. And they range. I mean, they range from, you know, you got your peanut butter whiskey to, Do you like the screwball in that?
I do the peanut butter, and then I'll do like a pecan whiskey or something. I'll throw a couple shots more in there. But
yeah. It's half shot.
Yeah.
I'm not a big sweet
frozen drink guy, but that is it's a standout drink, and
that's refreshing.
They absolutely earn their place among classic drinks of New Orleans with that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's, and everyone knows what that is, and it's so cheap. I mean, I still think they sell it before pre-shots. I think they sell it for, I think it's $7, which down in New Orleans is a damn steal right now.
That's good steal anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. But no, it's a very, very well-known drink. I always get the banana liqueur, just something goofy. There's like goofy stuff on there, which I have to go for.
Yeah.
It's also, it is a funny bottle.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, the other things that we have done there before, and I guess, like, you have not had the chance to do this yet, Justin, is they used to have, like, the two big traditions they would have every year was the Jim Monahan St. Patrick's Day Parade / Limo Pub Crawl, and then the Jim Monahan Annual Halloween Parade. Now, these were going on pre-COVID, no problem, everything was cool. First time I went to Molly's and knew about this place called Molly's. Actually, Peter and Charlotte went to the wrong Molly's. Isn't that right, Peter?
There's a couple of them. There's multiple Molly's.
There's a Molly's on Toulouse, which I think he went to. Was just using that as an excuse to like give us the Irish goodbye. But
you know. We went, realized that was the wrong one, and called it a night.
The first time I went there was the same one that Peter went to, is that that was the year I dressed up as He-Man. And what were you, Peter?
We were doing Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead, okay.
Yeah. That was the time that Chris did a great He-Man and almost got into a fight with a Skeletor. Yeah. Then that turned into a fight with two Skeletors.
That's an old school beef right there.
Yep,
it was. I'm trying to like live up to the galactic battles.
That's right.
Justin, this was a concept that I had never even considered in my life before going there the first time. So, you know, our buddy Travis and Sarah are putting this together, and they've done it before, and they've talked about how much they love it. So, first of all, they go, okay, it's like I think it was like $125 or $150 a person. Now you gotta take it back to before I was doing stuff there, before I knew I understood what was going on. And I was like, holy crap, $150 a person. So you get all the drinks or whatever. No, it comes with no drinks. But you can ride on the floats and you can buy drinks at all the bars you go to. I'm like, well, what the hell? But then they're like, but then there's these huge boxes of throws that, you know, the beads or whatever that they'll provide those, you know. I'm like, okay. So, you know, of course, the best way to do any parade in New Orleans is to get all liquored up, right? So we get on these floats, and I don't remember how long it was, Peter, but we had like boxes and boxes of beads, and we were just tossing them, and they just kept showing up. They kept restocking.
Yeah,
and it was a great night.
Yeah, it was a blast. I absolutely, definitely recommend doing it if you can get in on anything like that ever. You know, we already did the talked about the St. Pat's Parade, but same thing. Those are unique to New Orleans, and it is a blast.
So I mean, like, so Justin, you're like, you know, you're in $300 for you and your wife. You get all the throws, and like you're having like you're literally on a float in the middle of a billion people throughout the French Quarter, just like begging you for anything, you know, because that's what you do at a parade. And it was just the most surreal thing I'd ever done at that point down there, because I was like, this is just. And you know, thank you to Travis and Seth for, you know, talking us into it, because I thought it was, we had a great time. They have sort of a halftime where they stopped at a certain spot, and you got something to eat, maybe another drink, and you sat there for a little bit, and then you got back on and went back, and that was a ball. And then
it sounds like a blast.
It was. You would have loved it, but they don't do it anymore, and I'll get to that in a second. But The other one they did was the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which I've told you about the limo pub crawl that we go on every year now. But before that, actually, we were all scheduled to go to the St. Patty's Day Parade / pub crawl, because you could pay. There was a ticket where you could go to both, and we were supposed to do that in 2020. This was March 16th, 2020, which was, you know, it was the 15th or the 16th, maybe it was the 15th, because it was the day or two before COVID really clamped down and everybody was scared to death. And so they had canceled the parade. So our friend Travis, unbeknownst to us at the time, canceled not only our tickets to the parade, but also the limo pub crawl, which the limo pub crawl did go on that year, which we didn't even find out till I was in there and Molly's like a year or two later. And like on the wall, there's a, hey, 2020. You actually had a limo pub crawl? And so, you know, we had to bust Travis's balls about that. But they, you know, COVID obviously ruined a lot of things. But what happened after COVID is it just became the St. Patty's Day limo pub crawl, and no parade in Halloween, and no parade out of, you know, no specific Molly's parade for St. Patrick's Day. And it was because the city decided that they were going to increase the permitting fees by 500%. So, and just the amount of the escalating costs with police escorts, you know, they were allowing, Peter, I've asked you this before, I know, but like, I know you're not on parade detail, but I'm always like, I'm sure they have like a certain number of cops have to be with you and all this stuff. And I'm sure that I think they ratcheted that up, and it just becomes at a certain point after you pay everything else off, you know, the buses, the limos, the floats, the throws and tops, permits, all this, it becomes like, what's the point? I'm probably gonna lose money on this, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they managed to do that for more than decades long, you know, have these parades and everything. There's never been any big issues. No, I mean, we would know. We would remember, oh, there was that, you know, that one time, or there was, you know, every so often something crazy happened. That's not the history that happens down there. And everybody got along with those parades, and yeah, it was cheaper. And I understand there's a certain amount of rising costs, but I don't think that was, I don't believe that's the issue.
Well, not 500% rising costs, no, for sure. Yeah. No.
And just saying you need to add in more administrative factors is not helpful. I mean, people managed to do it by themselves without any problem to start with.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about this before on here, but it's not just Molly's that is obviously suffering from this. I mean, if you back when we first started going there, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever, Peter, there was second lines all over the place. And now you might see a couple, you know, I mean, I'm talking over a 3 or 4 day span. You don't see many. I mean, it was literally, you would see one all the time. It was very simple to get one, you know, but now it's for whatever reason, I don't know if there's complaint, like we've discussed. I don't know if there's complaints from people in the French Quarter, businesses, or I don't know what the problem is, but they decided to make it harder to do that. So it takes a little character out of the city, to be honest. It does.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
But yeah, we were talking before, Justin, about that St. Patty's Day parade. Now, Molly's is still a stop. A big part of the sort of the St. Patrick's Day parade in the French Quarter. It's not their official parade, but they're, you know, because of their location there, right on Decatur Street corner there, it is a prime place to watch all these things. And so a couple years ago, my wife and I were able to go up on the balcony area, the second level above Molly's, which I thought was cool. So what we ended up doing is they were like, hey, come on, let's go this way. So we start go, if you sort of have to go over to Coop's, which is right next door to Molly's, and you have to cut through Coop's, through the back, through the kitchen to go to the stairwell to go upstairs. And then we get up there, and of course, like, there's
sounds
a
like
bunch
that scene
people
from Goodfellas where he's walking back
it is
through
the- it's just a continuous video shot for 5 minutes through the whole thing while people are cooking, to give me my favorite seat right by the stage. No, but we end up going to the top, and like the balcony, the overhang, you know, of course, I don't have to tell you guys how old this architecture is. So we get up there, and like, you know, they're joking like, hey, you know, I don't, this really hasn't been, you know, checked on in a while. We don't know if it's up to code currently. And, you know, I'm obviously not the smallest dude. So I'm like, I'm going to stay right here at the corner of the wall and the balcony. And you guys get right up by that railing. Okay, that's great. But yeah, nothing happened. No collapse. Although that I swear I've seen collapses happen there multiple times in the news, not in person. But yeah, that was cool because the parade just goes right in front of it. I mean, it's a perfect viewing area for any of that stuff because it's a, like I said, the location can't be beat. But that was fun. I mean, it's the place is, it's a fun place, you know, like anytime, like I think of my own place of, you know, my own establishment or whatever, I always try to make it as fun as possible. And it's because I see people like Molly's, you know, I want to copy them. They're like, so, you know, that city's fun in general, but you know, that bar just happens to be, you know, I mean, I've gotten to know, the bartender Emma is great. She's been there for several years now. And, you know, the Jim, Trey, Alana, they're all just great people. So, it makes it, in fact, we might have to call up Jim when we go down to New Orleans, Peter, because he wants to meet up because I got to know him pretty well in the limo pub crawl and he's the son of the founder, Jim. So, I don't know. Talk about stories that guy has, man. I mean, that guy could write several books on his history in New Orleans because just the family name and just they're in the center of everything. They're an establishment there. They really are institution.
It'd be interesting for him to base it kind of out of the bar, but the experience of the civic political side of everything, especially with them running that media night for so many years. I would have to bet there were some fascinating arguments and debates going on.
Yeah.
Over the years.
I mean, could you imagine who was there? I mean, like, cause you have so many events down there and if they know that's sort of a media friendly bar, you know, cause it's a cop friendly bar. Of course the patches show that, but I mean, you could walk in there at any point. And I saw the description of this. You got cops there, you got musicians, tourists, misfits, locals, you know, these journalists come in. I mean, I don't know. Just, I can only imagine these media nights since they've been going on for 30, 40 years, like who's walked in there and had a frozen Irish coffee, you know?
Yeah. That'd be great. And I like finding places like that in any city that I go to, but Molly's is unique, in its look and how long it's been there, but you do find there's that era of bars that started in the late 60s and early 70s that had that feel to it. Of wanting it to be a neighborhood bar, kind of eclectic, place for artists to meet, but they wanted everyone to feel welcome coming in.
Oh, I think you, well, of course, Fritzl's is in the 60s. You got Molly's in the mid 70s. Gosh, even that Harry's Corner we went to, Justin, these places, they were all built probably within 10 years of each other, or at least opened, not built, opened. And, you know, I mean, just they all have that vibe, you know. I would much rather go to a bar like that than the fancy uppity bars. Like,
they definitely all have that. They all share that same vibe. They really do.
It's
fun, relaxing, inviting, you know.
Two places that Molly's reminds me of, Mr. Toad's in Omaha has that same feel. You know, with they got books everywhere and they want you to come in, but they, you know, they make strong drinks and you know, want you to feel comfortable no matter who you are. And then it's no longer there, but it was same era. Sorry, I know it started in the mid 60s. In St. Louis, there was a bar there forever called Dressel's. And for decades, you'd walk in, the bartender had this big handlebar mustache, and he would be sitting there reading some massive book. And he made great drinks. Very much that same feel though. So any city that has a place like that, I always appreciate.
Yeah, those are, I don't know. I don't have, I'm sure they exist in Kansas City. I don't do the bar scene anymore. I mean, you have like Kelly's, you know, like I'm not, it's a different kind of vibe. It's a younger vibe. So, you know, these bars that I'm talking about are pretty diverse. Westport's a little younger, but
yeah.
And I'm sure you've been to them, Peter. I'm sure you both have probably been more than I have, but just the corner bars that might fit in this category. But, you know, like in Kansas City, you know, back when I was in my bar hopping days like that, you have the place on Gregory, the Cooper's, what's that place? Hooper's. Charlie Hooper's.
Yeah.
Like that. That's a sort of the vibe, I guess, that you're going for. And
I say Harry's Country Club down River Market.
Oh, that's definitely a good one. That's a good one. I should have thought of that. That's a perfect
one. That's my favorite bar in the city.
Is it?
Yeah. Again, I love that place.
Yeah. Great drinks. One of the few places you can smoke a cigar. Out on the patio.
Great outside patio. Yeah. It's fantastic. Very underrated.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time at the patio. I've never really gone much back in the patio area at Molly's. Like they have one back there.
Yeah, they do. It's one of the more comfortable ones around too.
I've never really spent any time out there. The only time I've really been there is they used to serve breakfast before the limo pub crawl back there, just so people would get too loaded.
Yeah,
that's smart.
You know, I found it interesting too. You hear about Johnny White's all the time staying open during Katrina. And since then, Johnny White's has gone out of business, sold, whatever. It's turned over a couple times now. But when doing research on Molly's, they also stayed open during Hurricane Katrina and served as sort of an informal communication hub for residents and journalists covering the storm. So I thought that was pretty cool, too.
That fit right in with Monahan's media thing, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That alone would be a good story to hear just if they, like, if they prepped for that, you know, what were they doing? Like, I would think they would have had to have water and generators and everything. I mean, because it all went down. So the fact that they were able to make that happen is impressive. But that would be a good story for them. Some journalist that goes in there should probably cover that.
Yeah, totally. Not me, but yeah. So I don't know. I wanted to talk about Molly's just because I honestly, I'm telling you, like if Fritzl's went away, I don't know why I always have to think about this. I think about this because Errol's 80 years old at Fritzl's, and I love him so much. And Richard Scott's there all the time. But let's say in a hypothetical world, if Errol's no longer existing and Richard Scott somehow falls out of favor there, I would have to possibly find somewhere else. And I think I could easily, because I'm looking forward when we go next week, Peter. I'm looking forward to going to Molly's just because I want to see the people I know there. Without the music, it's not a place I would stay like all day, just like we do at Fritzl's. But
that's why I was going to add a little disclaimer there for the people that there is no live music at Molly's. So if you're looking for that, this would not be the spot.
It's one of those places that as I get old now, I love the day drinking, and it is a great quiet day drinking spot, like much like Fritzl's, you know, it's not. But if you go at Molly's when it's like hammered, it's going to be wall to wall college days type stuff. It is.
I would have to say for anyone who's never been to New Orleans and has experienced those type of bars, the disclaimer also, much like Justin said, you would walk in there listening to us describe it. You think this place is some massive, you know, maybe impressive bar. It's not. You're going to walk in there and go, literally, is this what they're talking about? Like, this is not what they were describing at all.
I feel that way about all of New Orleans.
It's kind of underwhelming in some aspects of how it looks, but that's great because it is a true neighborhood bar that is a great day drinking place.
It's like the bar you see in every 80s movie that, like, not like Cheers seems bigger and more corporate, but like, you know, there's all those movies where you would have just a hole in the wall neighborhood bar. That's what it's like. But, you know, it's of course a little different because you have so many tourists right there. So you sort of have to play to all types. That's why I'd like to know, like, someone that's a genuine New Orleans, you know, person that's been there their whole life and they what do they think of Molly's? You know, because if you go on these Facebook groups, they hate like all the touristy places. You know, they hate Coops. You know, they hate all these places that people say, no, it was great. They even take a huge dump on Muriel's half the time. You know, and I'm like, you just hate that because of its proximity to like the middle of like tourist town, but you can't really hold it to that. And Molly's is like that too. I mean, I get, you know, they have a ton of locals, but you know that there's constantly the door is constantly turning with like tourists there daily. So I don't know how you'd take it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing is they make it very clear they welcome everybody.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I see some people think it's smart to make negative comments, you know, so, you know, there's like, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to show how smart I am by shitting on everything. So,
well, there's a ton of smart people online then, tons of them.
They're all over.
But like I said, you go, like Peter said, you're right. It is no bar in, like, no, none of these bars that are either dive / neighborhood bars are impressive size wise. They're like, like, I bet Molly's decor has not really changed in, I don't know, at least 30 years. I mean, like, it's like Fritzl's before they sort of had the makeover. It's like, you know, they probably had to peel stuff off the walls, you know, because it's been there for so long. And, like, why change a good thing? I get that.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like they left a lot of things where he set them down. You know, they maybe moved some stuff to put his ashes up there on the bar.
Well, it says something a lot. I know I keep going back to Monahan, but it says a lot about someone that, like, in that kind of town, you know somebody. And this is before I knew his family or any of this other stuff. If you just, anyone knows Jim Monahan. And if you have that, and he died 25 years ago. So the fact that people are still sort of talking about remembering him, knowing what he did, knowing the kind of influence he had on the town that is filled with influential people and names and crazy, you know, people all over the place that are very distinguishable. You know, that says something about Jim Monahan, which again, yeah. I don't know if I didn't know him. I don't know if I'd be like, man, this guy's super annoying because he's just really loud. Or if he's, I mean, I like opinionated people regardless of what their opinion is. I enjoy those kind of people. That's why I like you guys, because I like to like banter back and forth on things, and the people that have no opinions are very boring to me. So that's why I like them.
Yeah, he'd been a character.
Know where you stand.
Yes. Be blunt, be proud. Yes.
Wasn't there that one time we were sitting at that bar, Goff, and we were looking at this, I don't, like, it took us 30 minutes to figure out it was like a Hillary Clinton bobblehead or what action figure? What was that?
I think it was Hillary Clinton's up on the wall, up on the bar somewhere.
But wasn't it something like a bobblehead or?
It might have been the
some weird doll or something.
Is it the one where she was like, doesn't she have either boxing gloves on or that she had some kind of thing, a movable part of her, I thought.
But yeah, because we couldn't figure out who it was. And I think you're the one that finally said,
maybe that was a Hillary Clinton like nutcracker. Could have been.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, because it was, I mean, we sat there, Pete, drinking for probably 30, 45 minutes trying to figure out what the hell that thing was. So you make your own entertainment. That's what's fun about
putting
it.
Putting down more and more iced coffees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For shots.
He has shots with a dash of iced coffee,
you know, caffeine, ton of sugar and those things, and bourbon. That's a great mix for me there.
I will say something I haven't mentioned, totally underrated, because they have the house music on in there, but they do have a jukebox in front that's like five plays for a buck still or something. So anytime I go in there, she's like, do you want to play the jukebox? And I'm like, yeah. So then they'll crank down their radio and they'll allow to play. And they have like a ton of like classic New Orleans music there. Plus a lot of like, you know, just like cheesy stuff that's great for a bar to sing along with. So that is, you don't see jukeboxes anymore, let alone non-digital ones. So that makes it a little different.
Yeah, that's a fun part of it.
It is. It's a fun place. Anyway, I just I think Molly's has a special place for me. And I think if you go there for the first time and you want to find a place that's pretty comfortable and you just want to get outside of the frozen Irish coffee, I'm sure they have their own specials, but it's just like a wide open place. You can get anything you want there. And people are super friendly and is a perfect place to stop between the French Market and the rest of the French Quarter or whatever. This is your place. It's mollysatthemarket.net is their website. And I've bought several merch items from them. I got my hoodie. I got a t-shirt. We buy our limo pub crawl passes on there. So I don't know. It's a fun place. You guys have anything?
As the one who doesn't drink the frozen drinks, they make the bartenders have always been real solid, always happy with anything I've gotten from them.
Sure. Stacey, same way.
Yeah. Not a frozen drink guy, especially like that, but I like theirs.
Yeah. No, it's an awesome bar, an awesome, fun bar to check out. And then when you're hungry, you go to Coop's next door. We might have to do that this time, Peter. Have you gone there before?
No.
Okay. Well, I think we might have to get some more rabbit jambalaya for you, and you can try that and some other things that they have over there. And boudin. They got good boudin over there, I'm told. I didn't have it last time, but I read about it, and people put it over big, so we'll see.
Sounds like we're going. Cause
there you are.
Yeah.
Put it in the books.
Right back there.
I don't know if Garrett wants to go there again, but we'll take him. Mr. Foodie. Anyway, thanks for joining us on this episode of NOLA Outsider. Molly's at the Market is a great place. Check it out. mollysatthemarket.net. And then check us out, NOLAOutsider.com, and give us a 5-star review if you want. Next week, it's our final week before we head back to the Crescent City, Peter, before we try Tableau and Restaurant Revolution. And we can have a couple. That's when Justin's going to play mediator while we break down our food items from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we'll see.
I'm excited about it.
You're going to get the Death by Gumbo followed by the most expensive fish eggs, right? That's what you're going to get?
Yeah, okay.
That's fine.
There might be some game time decisions there on what they got going on, but
you haven't mapped out what you're going to eat there. You haven't done that. You haven't mapped out every meal you're going to have there.
Well, you know, I look over the menus. I looked at Tableau, and of course looked at the restaurant, and went back and looked at Muriel's because we're going there too, and just see what piques my interest. You know, like to have a few choices. So
Branzino still on there?
I believe it was last time I looked.
Okay. That was fantastic. Yeah, that was fantastic.
I actually was just at the store buying some swordfish that was delicious for dinner. But the store had whole Branzinos, and I almost bought one because they were beautiful looking.
Ooh.
See, I recently had swordfish, and I haven't had it in a while. Swordfish is great. It is.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I just had some snapper the other day, too, which I don't see here very often either. But
that's hard to find.
It is. And it's great. I love snapper, but the fish. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good week, and we'll be back next week with another interesting place that we're going to cover from New Orleans. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the NOLA Outsider podcast. We'd love to hear about your experiences in the greatest city in the world. Email us at outsidernola@gmail.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/NOLAOutsider or visit NOLAOutsider.com. See you next time on NOLA Outsider.